Fantasy Sports Today. Welcome to the program, everybody. Chris Meaney, Ashley Docking here with you, as always, to get you caught up live on everything that you missed over the weekend. And we're doing a little bit of either or, would you rather, with Derek Van Riper from RotoWire.
There's a couple frustrating wide receivers that showed up and didn't show up. And it's like, what do you do with them? And this is crunch time now.
Which is nice, though, because usually we're talking about confusing backfield situations. So it's nice that we get to move on to wide receivers a little bit. And then we're not going to have another guest. We're going to do targets and touches.
It's a lot of football today.
A lot of football and targets and touches, what that means going forward. Were these kind of anomalies, or are these guys getting the hot hand, getting the bulk of the work for an extended period of time, and what that means for you and your fantasy team? But first, Chris, we have to talk about an injury.
Yeah, just a couple little injuries.
Jordan Howard.
Yeah, Jordan Howard, and a lot of, you know, the confusing backfield situations got a little bit less confusing, I'll say, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, Jordan Howard, this guy was great. He's a second straight game where he's been awesome, but now he's dealing with an ankle slash Achilles injury. John Fox said it's one of the two, not 100% sure what his status is going forward. Reading a lot this morning that it could be season ending, and that would be a tough blow for Howard and for Howard owners, of course.
But he said he's fine.
He says he's fine, sure. But who knows? Like, I don't know Jordan Howard. Do you? Maybe he's lying to us.
Do I?
I don't know.
No.
Would you trust him?
If I knew him, I'm sure. Why not? He seems like a nice gentleman.
You know what? He runs really hard. And watching him yesterday, I'm just like, I'm so impressed with him. He's definitely by far the best back of the three in that backfield. Talking about Jeremy Langford and Kadeem Carey, when Howard left that game, you know, 15 for 100 the week before, 26 for 153. Like, those are those last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Those are phenomenal weeks. But when he left, Jeremy Langford had 19 snaps and Kadeem Carey had 8. So if I'm going to pick one of the two, I think Carey's better, but I think Langford is the guy who gets at least the goal line work. But just keep an eye on the situation going forward. If one of these guys are in your waiver wire, maybe you have to go and pick him up.
Fitzgerald, you can't pick him up because he's probably owned.
I believe him.
And he's been
if he
having,
said he was fine, I'd believe him.
He's been having, yeah, I would trust him too.
Yeah.
Of course, Larry?
Yeah.
Come on, Larry.
Yeah.
He's not going to lie to you. 12 receptions on 18 targets, 133 yards versus San Francisco. But Fitzgerald has been having a great season. He just came off the injury report on November 11th with an ankle injury. And now they're saying he's going to get an MRI on his knee. So that report came from Kent Summers of AZ Central Sports. He's saying it could be an MCL sprain. It is not expected to be that serious. Fitzgerald is someone, obviously, who's been performing consistently throughout his entire career. So it's not a situation to overreact to. You're not dropping him. It's not dire. At this point, he's still expected to play.
Yeah, moved into sixth last night. All-time in receptions for wide receivers past my boy Terrell Owens.
Wow.
But yeah, he's got the third most targets over the past 4 weeks. That's including a bye, 52 targets. This guy's a machine. We'll talk with Derek Van Riper of RotoWire just about maybe the whole Cardinal situation. So a lot of people are in on J.J. Nelson. Everyone's forgetting about Michael Floyd, who showed up in a big way yesterday, too. So we'll talk about that. Good news for Doug Martin owners. You know, we talked a lot about him, actually, over the past couple weeks. Should you trade him? Should you acquire him? Do you want anything to do with him? Well, he showed up yesterday and he played. Not a lot of playing time, but he ended up finding the end zone, 33 yards on the ground. The snap count looked like 31 snaps out of 75 plays. Mike James had 23, Barber had 21. So this is good news for Martin owners, or if you acquired him, because he's got San Diego just before fantasy football playoff time, and then he's got the Saints twice.
Yep.
So this is great news. If you could get him, I would still try to acquire him, because I think he's in for a big finish.
2.1 yards per carry in his first game back since week 2. So let's give him a little bit
of
break. He wasn't that efficient, but you have to expect that there's going to be some rust. Jaquizz Rodgers, no return in sight. And then you had Peyton Barber.
And then Sims is also hurt.
Sims is also hurt. And then you had Barber. He had 11 carries after the first half. So they're not necessarily trusting him or going to him when they need to. But Tampa Bay showed up in a big way.
Yeah.
In a huge way
against
Chicago.
Man, Winston made some plays yesterday.
Oh, that one where Winston was running in the end zone.
Yeah, he's running around for like half an hour and then he just chucked
it. There was like six people trying to take him down. No one could even touch him. He's like, skirt, skirt, right and left. And then Ryan Matthews, he showed up in a huge way. We're wondering what's going on with Matthews. He's not getting any carries. He's vulturing goal line carries, which is saving his fantasy value. But then he goes 19 for 108, two touchdowns, two receptions for 30 yards against the Falcons. Holy cow.
Nobody saw this coming. Nobody.
It's his first 100-yard game since week 3 last year. Sproles was in the fold, 76 total yards, 8 receptions in the mix, and then Smallwood, 13 rushing attempts,
yeah, and 70
yards. This is just a game where they were taking to the running backs a ton.
Yeah.
But do you trust Matthews still? Because this game was sort of an anomaly the way things have been going this season.
Yeah, it's really tough to trust Matthews. This is just a big headache. Everyone thought it was going to be a Sproles week. For Matthews to get 26 snaps and touch the ball 21 times is almost unheard of. And then Sproles had 31 snaps, rather 10 touches. And then Smallwood, 19 snaps, but more touches than Sproles. So it's like, it's so confusing, this entire backfield. Doug Peterson did say he wanted to run the ball a little bit more and have Carson Wentz throw less. And they really kind of controlled the clock, controlled the line of scrimmage yesterday against Atlanta on both sides. And they ran the ball well. So, Matthews looks great. And it's so confusing to me why he doesn't get a lot of play and a lot of snaps. But he certainly is the goal line guy. He's getting the touchdowns, which is nice. He's still, like, available in some leagues. I'm certain you can pick him up. It's just, there's going to be some inconsistency there, and hopefully maybe, you know, Doug Peterson realized, hey, let's get the ball to this guy. He runs hard. He looked good yesterday. He ran with a purpose.
Probably not. Because if Sean Payton hasn't realized that Mark Ingram needs the ball a little bit more, then I don't know if Peterson's going to give the benefit of the doubt to Matthews. Ingram, 11 carries, 50 yards, out-touched Tim Hightower, just 13-10, out-gained him 63-55 yards against Denver.
Yes.
So asterisks on those numbers. It looks as though it's panning out to be Ingram's going to get the groundwork. Hightower is going to be the pass catching back. 2 receptions for a long 34 yards for Hightower in this mix.
That's what I see too, actually. I see him catching some balls, and I see Ingram's the better back. He's more of a, like, just run downhill guy. If he can hold onto the ball. I know there was one play in the game yesterday where he ran the wrong way and Breeze went the other way, and then he ran off to the sidelines. He was all upset, and Peyton listened and gave him a little head shake, and I was like, that's it. He's not getting back in the football field. But he did. He got back. And that's the biggest thing for me is that he had 22 snaps to Hightower's 14.
And then so maybe that's a little
bit. That's a positive.
Maybe that's some insight into what's going on. And that's why Sean Payton has this problem with him that we've been speculating. We've been saying,
maybe he
doesn't like him.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just that he doesn't trust him. He doesn't trust his mind in the game to be in the right place at the right time in clutch situations. There are some players that have the natural physical abilities.
Yep.
But when it comes to the game plan and actually looking at the X's and O's, that's where they struggle.
Yeah,
and that could be Ingram.
I agree with you. Devontae Booker, a lot of talk about Capri Bibbs. You know, a lot of people had him as a borderline top 30 RB. Yeah, I get it. He had 7 touches, or he had 8 touches rather, 7 more than his previous high.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good news. 18 snaps, a career high for him. Of course, we're talking about an undrafted guy. You know, you talked about his stats in high school, just off the charts.
Oh, yeah. He had
unbelievable
61 touchdowns or something like that.
2 years.
Yeah.
Very talented for Capri Bibbs. I think that he should be owned, but a lot of people were saying, okay, maybe you can start him as a flex guy, with some teams on bye, you can get away with that in a good matchup. But really, it was more so Booker, and Booker showed up this week, 19 for 54, 10 for 22, 24 for 76. Those are the last 3 weeks for Booker. This was a good matchup. Now they got a bye week coming up, so maybe people are going to drop Bibbs, and if somebody does drop him and you have Booker, I would go pick him up just in case.
I would say grab him, because here's the thing, although Booker's been getting the bulk, he's getting some yards that are, I guess, saving his fantasy value. He's not being efficient.
No, he's
3.2 yards per carries versus the Saints, whose run game is actually secret, or run defense is actually secretly good. It's they struggle in the pass catching arena. But in 3 starts, 53 carries, 2.86 yards per carry. There's a window for Bibbs here. It's just a matter if he's going to get the opportunity. And Rob Kelly?
Yeah, let's give him a shout out because he's won that job. I mean, Matt Jones was a healthy scratch yesterday. He didn't play. Matt Jones had the fumble in the end zone, got benched, hadn't had the foot injury, didn't play, and then just a healthy scratch. So, I mean, this is back-to-back games for Kelly with 20-plus carries, 21 for 87, 22 for 97. He seems like he's the guy in that offense. That was against Minnesota where people wanted to shy away from it. I know Pat was talking about how we'd rather play Chris Thompson and, catching balls in the backfield. And you know what? Kelly's going to get 20-plus carries, and that's what we like. We like volume. At this point, I think I'd rather have him than Gurley. I mean, Gurley's getting 20 carries, but what's he doing with them?
Nothing.
Absolutely
and Chris
nothing.
Thompson had a fumble against the Vikings, so you can't rely on him either. It looks like it's Kelly's job to lose. Jay Gruden, such a savage though, saying Matt Jones has to earn his way back. This guy had 22 for 117 in a touchdown in week 4. He had 16 for 135 in a touchdown for week 6. Every time you've given him a chance, Jay, he's been good. He gets hurt. He has to earn his way back, man.
He's got to earn his way back in practice.
Talking about practice. We're going to come back. We're going to have Derek Van Riper on. We're talking Would You Rather on FSD. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meany and Ashley Docking here with you for a round of Would You Rather, Who'd You Rather. We're going to touch on some running backs, but more importantly, some wide receivers, because it's not a conversation that we've really been having because there's been so much confusion with the running back situation in fantasy this season. But to make sense of everything for us, Derek Van Riper from RotoWire joins us now. Hi, Derek. How's it going?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing today?
We're doing good. You know what? It took 10 weeks to see something from CJ Procyse, Kenneth Dixon, and maybe tonight with Paul Perkins, but both of those guys showed up in a big way this past weekend. And you know what? I think they're both certainly rosterable, but people are playing in short leagues. Maybe they can't get them. Who would you rather have? I mean, Procyse, 153 total yards yesterday, outsnapped Michael 54-11. We're going to get into some touches and targets later on. It was more so Terrence West who had a lot of the carries and touches in that game on Thursday night. But Dixon showed up in a big way too, 80 total yards. If you were to pick one of the two, who would you go with?
I'd give the very slight edge to Procyse, and that's even with Thomas Rawls possibly coming back in the near future. It's going to complicate things even further as far as the Seattle backfield goes. But last night was a critically important game for Seattle. They relied on Procyse as really an every down sort of back. And you mentioned Michael and the snap difference between the two backs last night. I think Procyse has this job right now. Rawls may have just been a fluke last year too. Aside from the health concerns, there's no guarantee he comes back and rips off 5+ yards of carry again, even after he's healthy and deemed fit to play.
Especially when Procyse, I was going to say, he has the pass catching and running ability.
Yeah,
so you can use him in very versatile
lining
situations.
Lining up as a wide receiver, started his football career as a safety. He's very talented. And what I noticed, Derek, was that he was getting the goal line touches. I mean, they didn't get in, but it was him more so than Michael. Like, they didn't want to bring Michael
failed,
in. They didn't want to bring Michael in. So that's certainly interesting to me.
Let's take a look at the Tennessee Titans, and we can't talk about that team without talking about how good Marcus Mariota has been. I mean, you can seriously make an argument for this guy maybe bridging the MVP conversation.
Certainly,
just the way that he's been playing. In three of his last five games, his pass completion has been 70% or higher, which means it benefits everyone in their offense. He threw for four touchdowns yesterday. Tajay Sharp, Kendall Wright on the receiving end of both of those. It's almost like, though, Derek, these guys are trending in two different directions. Tajay Sharp, his yardage and his production has been going up, where you have Kendall Wright, who's so dependent on those long balls, those deep strikes. So going forward, do you rely on one more than the other, or does it really not matter since Mariota's just been so good?
Mariota has been great. He's spreading the ball around very effectively, and the Titans run it really well, of course, with DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. And DeMarco Murray also vultured a passing TD from Mariota yesterday. He threw the one to Delanie Walker, so it could have been a 5-TD game for Mariota because Walker was just that open. I look at those two receivers, Wright and Sharp, as guys that really just take away value from each other. The player I want in that group is Rishard Matthews. He can stretch the field. He can get more volume. I think Walker's kind of their main target. Matthews is their number two, and you see the likes of Wright and Sharp kind of vying to be the third or fourth option most weeks, and they're not a team that's built to throw it 35 or 40 times, so I don't think you want to go that far down the depth chart as far as players you're going to start week to week and season long. But I've been very impressed by Rishard Matthews, and he seems to have really stepped up since Andre Johnson's role and then a subsequent retirement took place a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, he's got six touchdowns in the last six games. I mean, the only part of this offense aside from Murray and Mariota is probably just Matthews and Delanie Walker. Maybe you don't want a piece of either of those guys. Sharp, 36 snaps to Wright's 26, but they got Indy and Chicago coming up, which is nice. Let's talk about a wide receiver not a lot of people probably know about. It's Colby Hamilton, and yesterday Sammy Coates only had two snaps, and you know, he's the deep threat. If you want a piece of this Pittsburgh Steelers offense, we were always talking about he's got the big playability, but maybe Eli Rogers is the one you actually want because more consistent, double-digit targets 2 weeks ago, found the end zone. Is there anything here with Colby Hamilton, or is this just a sign of just maybe you want to cut your ties with Sammy Coates?
Yeah, I think it's just bad news for Sammy Coates more than anything else. And Colby Hamilton may just be the Darius Hayward Bay of the Pittsburgh offense right now. He did have the second highest snap volume of all Steelers receivers yesterday, behind only Antonio Brown, of course. And he's capable of getting a deep target or two, maybe cashing one in on occasion. But Hamilton doesn't have the blazing speed that Sammy Coates does. We're talking about a guy in Hamilton who ran a 4.5 6.40 at the combine. I would pass on Hamilton, and I would be very hesitant to rely much on Coates right now. I think a lot of the disappearance of Sammy Coates, going back to the big performance he had against the Jets, everything since then seems to be more injury related than anything else. I don't think that thumb has been anywhere near 100% over the past 4 weeks.
What about Eli Rogers? Is he a must grab? Is he like a wide receiver three the rest of the way?
You know, I think Eli Rogers is interesting. 4 for 42 in a TD yesterday. No catches in the second half, though, of a very competitive game against Dallas. And I think he's the primary slot receiver in Pittsburgh, which gives him plenty of value. He's a steady floor guy, limited ceiling type player. Perhaps Cole Beasley's role, but just in an offense that throws it a bit more in Pittsburgh than the one in Dallas. So I think Rogers in like a 14-team league is the kind of guy you plug in as your third receiver. You know, bye week injuries, things like that. But I don't know if you go to a 10 or a 12 team league, if there's enough there for Rodgers each and every week where he's a must own sort of player.
That's not exactly a glowing endorsement of Rodgers. You can plug him in wide receiver three if
you're
there's
hurting.
Like tons of buys, if you have like a ton of injuries, then sure, why not? I mean, Ben makes everyone better, but
yeah. There
it's really just those three guys, Brown, yeah. Bell, Ben.
They do have Cleveland coming up, which
they do have Cleveland, which means points for everybody.
Yeah,
it's like Oprah, right?
Yeah.
Throwing it out there. Okay, so Michael Floyd showed up in a big way, his first 100-yard game of the season. Devontae Parker, he had a big game too, his first 100-yard game since week two. Only his fourth game with over 30 yards all season. But then you have someone who's interesting, Tavon Austin. He's kind of hit or miss, and he didn't have a great game. 3 receptions for 36 yards over the last 2 games. So he's been in a bit of a slump. But if you look at all three of these guys and their long-term value as we're headed towards playoffs pretty shortly, who is it that you trust a little bit more than the others?
Well, if I'm choosing between those three, Devontae Parker is the player I trust the most. Came on strong in the second half of last season. Maybe Ryan Tannehill is starting to get it as far as Adam Gase's offense goes. The reason I'm still down on Michael Floyd, J.J. Nelson was named the number two receiver going into the Cardinals bye week. Unless Larry Fitzgerald's knee injury proves to be serious, I think you're looking at all the secondary options in Arizona as players that simply are week to week unreliable. I mean, they're going to be productive some weeks. They're going to disappear in others because there's only one ball, and I think that offense is now built around David Johnson too, so they're not going to be a team that throws it 35 or 40 times each week by design. Tavon Austin to me is just an afterthought. He's an explosive player. He's just on the wrong team. If he played on a team that had a quarterback that could throw the ball downfield, I would get excited about him, but I think right now he's so feast or famine, he's even more volatile than a player like Michael Floyd, who I tried to avoid outside of best ball formats going back to draft season.
Well, DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin are guys that really haven't done a whole lot recently, and they're both dinged up. Would you rather just like a Kenny Britt? I know you talked about Rashard Matthews. He's been awesome. I think I'd rather have him, definitely rather have him than the other guys. But talk to me about these KC wide receivers, too. Is there anything there with Tyreek Hill or Albert Wilson? And like, what do you do with Maclin?
Yeah, Macklin's kind of a forced hold right now. I think he's too good to cut, and at the same time, if he's not 100%, I don't think you can roll him into your lineup right now. I've been using him as my third receiver in a half-point PPR league when he's been healthy, and it's been a disaster throughout this season. Of the alternatives, I like Tyreek Hill the most. He had a career-high 13 targets against Carolina yesterday. Does have that sort of Tavon Austin explosiveness, not really the size you're looking for of a prototypical step-in number one receiver, but he stands out from Albert Wilson and Chris Conley because that blazing speed is something those other two players simply do not possess. I also like the fact the Chiefs match up with the Bucs at home in week 11. So if Maclin is forced to miss another week, Tyreek Hill is an interesting kind of pick up and play sort of option for those facing bye week problems in week 11.
They got Atlanta and Oakland coming up too as well. Derek, we got to get out of here, but just like James, would you rather James Starks or Ryan Matthews?
Oh, James Starks by a small margin. We saw a lot of Darren Sproles in the field yesterday. Wendell Smallwood had double-digit carries as well. The Packers really pivoted away from Ty Montgomery. I think in a better game flow situation, you're probably going to get 12 to 14 carries and a handful of catches each week from Starks. People forget, he went over 40 catches last season as a backup. So I'll go Starks over Matthews, but it's very close.
Yeah, I feel like every time we have you on, we're talking about that Philadelphia Eagles backfield. It's like every other week, it's just a mess. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks, too. Derek. You too. All right. Coming up next, targets and touches. And we're going to touch on Tyreek Hill, who we just mentioned.
Yeah.
Stick around on FST. This is Fantasy Sports Today and our weekly tradition, targets and touches. And let's look at the targets first. The top 10 guys from this week, not including the Monday Nighter, obviously. Larry Fitz, Jordy Nelson on the board, Stephon Diggs. But you want to talk about Allen Robinson.
Yeah, Allen Robinson, 70-plus yards in three straight games. He's got Detroit next, which is just a dream matchup. So if you have the opportunity and you haven't sold him yet, I think that you can. And it all depends on when your trade deadline is. So if you get one more week of him, go ahead, play him against Detroit. You love it. But Denver, Minnesota, and Houston in the playoffs, I know they played Houston yesterday, but without their top corner, most likely he's back in that playoff matchup. So maybe you could just want to go ahead and get rid of Allen Robinson now that he's had three straight games.
Tyrell Williams on that board too, a season high 11 targets, and that's because Benjamin was out. However, Chris, I still think there is value when and if Benjamin returns.
Yes.
Okay, so Benjamin's big games, 80 yards plus, he's had three of them. During those three games, Williams still 247 combined receiving yards. He is valuable. It's Dontrell Inman that takes the hit once Benjamin returns.
And the playoff schedule is unbelievable.
A dream.
It's a dream. So yeah, Tyrell Williams, 22 points, 21 points, 18 points, 23 in his last four of his last six. Mm-hmm. The only two games he didn't do anything, we talked about it before, is against Denver. So yes, awesome.
And then we talked about Tyreek Hill.
So. Yeah, Tyreek Hill, I mean, I like what Derek said. I mean, he could help you out a lot, especially in deeper leagues. Yeah. I mean, Tampa next, Denver is not great, but Atlanta, Oakland, and Tennessee. So you can get by with playing him. And you know, Jeremy Maclin's not 100%, so the targets are there. This guy's got a couple touchdowns in his last three games, so getting a
Jeremy
lot of
Maclin's
luck.
20, terrible.
24 targets in his last three games.
Jeremy Maclin, 50 receiving yards one time over in his last six games, and that was against
Pittsburgh. They just use Hill more.
All right, let's take a look at our top 10 touches for the week, and then we're going to start with CJ Procise. Chris, by all means, allons-y.
Yeah, I mean, we already kind of touched on him a little bit too, again with Derek, but 153 total yards yesterday. This guy's just been flat out awesome. 15 catches on the year, 203 yards. According to Pro Football Focus, he's second in yards per route run, right behind Tevin Coleman at 2.86. So to me, he's just really bypassed Chris and Michael for sure. You already missed your opportunity to, you know, trade Michael. You don't even want to start him now. Only 11 snaps yesterday. Didn't get the goal line carries. So Procise is a guy that needs to be played every single day. And I'm with Derek. I think that Thomas Rawls is a little bit of a fluke. And that's why I liked Michael as much as I did going into the season, because I thought three-headed monster. But Procise, this guy is safety lining up as a wide receiver. They threw to him on third and long yesterday. I mean, Russell Wilson already has great chemistry with him. It's nice.
He took 77% of the snaps for Seattle. So that, if that doesn't indicate something, then I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah, he looks like a three down back. He's fun to watch.
We got to talk about Terrence West a little bit. So against Cleveland in week 10, he was on the touches leaderboard, but just pump the brakes because it's Cleveland. And if we look at his production overall this season, two of his last three games, he's rushed for under 1.5 yards per carry. Three of his last five, under 4 yards per carry. So although the opportunity is there, he's not taking advantage of it whatsoever. Baltimore in a jam, they don't really have another option except for Kenneth Dixon.
Yeah.
But what do you think about his potential?
Yeah, so I like Kenneth Dixon. Yeah. I think West is trending down and Dixon's trending up. And we may see another rookie running back in Paul Perkins today take this next step. We saw Procise take it yesterday. We saw Dixon take it on Thursday. Six carries for 38 yards, caught five balls at seven targets for 42. That's 80 total yards. I think that he's the best back in that backfield as well. And that's a reason why they cut Justin Forsett. They know that they don't need him, and Kenneth Dixon is the guy. So Dixon, Procise, Perkins, I think we're going to talk a lot down the stretch about these guys, and they're going to be big-time players in the next coming years. I think we're going to talk about them as, like, top 20 backs.
Ooh, prediction. Looking into your crystal ball. Want to hear some real bad news?
Yeah.
I found a gray hair this morning.
Jeez. I've been finding them for years.
I'm on the IR.
You're on the IR.
I'm on the IR.
Stressed.
I pulled it right out. I don't
care. Ashley Dawkins has gray hairs.
Bye.
We'll see you later.
Happy birthday, Dad.